So as I said, we are going to be in the book of Proverbs, beginning Proverbs tonight. On Wednesday nights, we will march through the book of Proverbs. Sunday mornings, we are going verse by verse through the Gospel of Matthew. So a little Old Testament here on Wednesday night, New Testament on Sunday morning. Proverbs chapter 1, we're reading about the school of the wise. There's a lot of good schools out there. There's a lot of bad schools out there. There were two major schools that Solomon was writing about, the school of wisdom and the school of foolishness. And he's trying to get his son to make sure that he would stay in the school of wisdom and not go over to the school of foolishness. Now, if the book of Psalms is the hymnal of the believer, and it is, then Proverbs is the instruction manual for the believer. When you get a piece of machinery or something, it typically comes with a user's manual. Most men just disregard, oh, I'll figure it out as we go. However, sometimes the thing doesn't run as well as it could if you had just read the manual. For example, the manual might say, your equipment comes without oil. Put oil in it before you pull the string and try to run your machine over your lawn. Well, we disregard that manual and boom, fire it up and get going, and all of a sudden, boom, and there's a cloud of smoke because we didn't read the manual. We're just doing what we thought was right. Well, that's the school of foolishness. Doing what you think is right for yourself at that moment, regardless of the circumstances. So, Proverbs, the instruction manual for the believer that we might live the blessed life. First of all, what is a proverb? What is a proverb? A proverb, it's been said, is a short sentence drawn from long experience. I like that, a short sentence drawn from long experience. It is a proper mixture of horse sense and holy sense. A mixture of horse sense and holy sense. Now, the book of Proverbs contains about 900 separate proverbs. Each one of them could be its own Bible study. In fact, each one could be a series of Bible studies, but we're not going to do that. We're going to give an overview. And if you desire to dig deeper and look at these things, then please do so on your own. The book of Proverbs, again, contains about 900 proverbs. Now, Solomon penned about 800 of them. The other 100 of them are attributed to someone named Agur, that's Proverbs chapter 30, and another guy named King Lemuel, who recorded the wise sayings of his mother, and that was Proverbs 31. And some even think that King Lemuel is just a pet name for Solomon himself. But be that as it may, the Holy Spirit wanted these roughly 900 proverbs to be contained in this book, to be part of the canon of Scripture. Now, Solomon himself was a very prolific psalmist and proverbist, if that's a word. We read in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 32, he spoke 3,000 proverbs. And his songs were 1,005. Well, the Holy Spirit decided that of Solomon's 3,000 proverbs, 800 or so were actually God-breathed and therefore are to be part of God's word. Solomon penned Proverbs primarily to teach his son about living the wise and therefore blessed life. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, if you look there real briefly, it says, my son, so obviously he's writing to his son. Which son? We have no idea. Solomon was married a lot. 700 wives and 300 concubines, women who were legally bound to him, but yet not given the status of wife, but through whom he could make babies. And the man was not just a prolific psalmist and proverbist, but he was also a prolific daddy. So which of the sons was he writing to? We have no clue. If it was to his son Rehoboam, who eventually succeeded him when Solomon died and became the king over Judah, then Rehoboam did not listen to his father's wisdom. He failed. But even so, he's writing, "My son, hear the instruction of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother. For they, the instructions of mom and dad, will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck." So Proverbs is all about living the blessed life. In Proverbs and throughout all of Scripture, we see that righteous living will result in a glorious future, but wicked living will come to a tragic end. But living the blessed life, here's a key, here's part of the wisdom of living the best life. It requires the determination to live the best life. Living the blessed life requires a determination to live the best life. See that there? The blessed life means you live the best life. Throughout Proverbs, the reader is encouraged to go beyond that which is acceptable and to seek that which is best. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world. Don't just do what the world is doing, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means going against the flow, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's not just about doing what is acceptable, it's doing what's best. Do what's best and you will be blessed. In Colossians chapter 3, in verse 1, we read, if then you were raised with Christ. Anybody here that was raised with Christ? You've been saved, you're going to heaven. That's what being raised with Christ, okay. If that is you, then seek those things which are above, where Christ is. How many of you have mastered the ability to be in two places at one time, to do two things at one time? Have you ever heard the phrase multitasking? It is a misnomer. It is a myth. There is no such thing as multitasking. You cannot chop lettuce and grill a steak at the same time. You can do them in conjunction with each other. When you turn the steak, then you go to chop the salad. But you can't chop and turn. It's virtually impossible. Only God can multitask. The point of that is, if we are seeking that which is above, then we will not be seeking that which is beneath. Can't do both. Can't be a mugwump. You know what a mugwump is, right? Somebody sits on the fence with their mug face in one way and their wump face in the other. We are to seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For the reason that we should be seeking heavenly things and not earthly things is you died. What rights does a dead person have? You died. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. What a great promise. The promise of the blessed eternity because we decide to live the best here. And that's really what Proverbs is all about. We're being encouraged not to compromise, not to settle for anything less than that which is best spiritually. Seeking the best, and we will be blessed. Now, in Proverbs chapter 1 and verses 1 through 7, we're introduced to Dean Solomon of the Wisdom School. Dean Solomon of the Wisdom School. Verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive words of understanding. So in a general sense, I've already kind of mentioned it, Proverbs is a case study of two schools, the school of wisdom and then the school of fools. In the world in which we live, schools are disseminators of knowledge. That's what schools are. They're supposed to. They're supposed to dispense knowledge, hoping that the young people will retain that knowledge, grow up, and it will benefit them in the long run. Knowledge itself is the ability of acquiring information. So let's put it this way. Schools disseminate information. Knowledge means one is gathering that information and is retaining it. That's knowledge. But what does a person do with that knowledge? If somebody, for example, studies nuclear physics, but yet is content with flipping burgers at McDonald's, then they're not exactly using their knowledge. They're doing something different. Nothing wrong with that. If a person's happy flipping burgers, great. But what do you do with that knowledge? Wisdom is the beneficial application of knowledge. Knowledge is good, but when you do that knowledge, then that's wisdom. It's the beneficial application of knowledge. Now, foolishness, that other school, disregards knowledge and pursues immediate gratification. One of the popular themes of the school of fools is follow your heart. One of the popular themes of the school of fools is follow your heart. Do what seems right to you at the time, regardless of consequences. That's the school of fools. Now, Solomon was the dean of the school of wisdom, and he hoped that his son and us, you and me, the readers, will wisely do the knowledge, the information that he dispenses. Verse 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, notice these elements to wisdom here, living the blessed life, justice, judgment, and equity. One tenet of wisdom is to do what's right and fair for others. Others is the big deal when it comes to godly wisdom, looking beyond oneself for the benefit of others. Justice, judgment, and equity. In other words, wisdom pursues the well-being of others. It's not all about this. The school of fools, it's all about the self. My three favorite friends, me, myself, and I. What about me? Is a question that's often asked in the school of fools. Whereas the school of the wise, the question is often asked, how can I help? To give prudence, Proverbs are in verse 4, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. So he mentions the young men here. And I think the young men that need wisdom are those that are men that are still breathing. Okay, anybody under the age of 120, we need God's wisdom. Now, young men are prone to impetuousness, meaning doing what seems right to them at the time. Again, the school of fools. But doing what seems right in one's own eyes, the Bible says, will lead to death. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Now, the wise young man realizes this and will heed wise counselors, listening to the teachers in the school of wisdom. Verse 5, a wise man will hear and increase learning. I want to know more. More about the things of God. The Bible says that all things pertaining to life and godliness are found in the knowledge of Him. The more we know Jesus, the more we will know about life and godliness. So a wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. So things that are not necessarily clear-cut and straightforward, but it's been said the words of the wise are often couched in cleverness. The words of the wise are often couched in cleverness, an enigma, a riddle, something where there's something deeper going on. Jesus, obviously the creator of wisdom, and he often spoke in parables. There was much more to his story than just about farming and trees and crops and birds and stuff. There are many wise people who have said wise things that require one to stop and think. What do you mean by that? And there are some people who have given what we would call a proverb, even in our recent history. For example, there's one man who said, we can complain because rose bushes have thorns, or rejoice because thorns have roses. That was Abraham Lincoln. Another one, life is like riding a bicycle. To keep your balance, you must keep moving. You know who said that? Albert Einstein. Don't judge each day by the harvest you reap, but by the seeds that you plant. Robert Louis Stevenson. You can never cross the ocean. Okay, think of who crossed the ocean. You can never cross the ocean until you have the courage to lose sight of the shore. Who said that? Ocean voyage 1492, sailed the ocean blue. Christopher Columbus, there you go. Here's one. The secret to a good marriage is this. Be really, really, really nice to each other. You know who said that? Me. These are bits of knowledge, short sentences that have come from long experiences. Knowledge is a good thing, but doing them is wisdom. And the most important wise thing we do is found in verse 7. If you get this right, everything else will fall in line. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So where do we start? By fearing the Lord. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So Dean Solomon tells his students that the first lesson in the school of wisdom is to fear the Lord. And throughout Proverbs and the rest of Scripture, we are told about the many benefits of fearing the Lord. But those in the fool school, they despise God. They want to live their lives however they want, whenever they want. Feels good, do it. It's a popular slogan again in the school of fools. But instead of a diploma, those in the school of fools are going to graduate in hell. And that point will be made very clear. In Proverbs 1, verses 8 through 19, Solomon tells his sons, don't fall in with fools. Don't fall in with fools. Verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother, for they, the instructions of mom and dad, will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. So if you listen to our instructions, it's like you'll be wearing fancy jewelry. Now, in some cultures, jewelry, especially even back in Solomon's day, jewelry was much more than just body decoration. Jewelry conveyed wealth, power, and social status. And even today in some cultures, the more bling, the more esteem. Solomon tells his son, wear my instruction and your mother's law as if it is expensive jewelry, and if you do so, you'll be highly esteemed. And it begins with staying away from those who are going to try to lead you astray with a promise of ill-gotten gain. Verse 10, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. So one big lesson in the school of wisdom is you need to be careful about who you allow to be your friends. Later on in Proverbs 12, verse 26, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. Now, the older we get, we begin to realize that our real friends are more often our family. And then we have some close friends, of course, at church. But young people are trying to find out what their identity is. And so often, sadly, their perception of their own identity is based upon what others think of them. And so they all want to be cool. They want to be accepted by the cool kids. It's interesting how the cool kids in my junior high and high school eventually all wound up divorced and in rehab. And those who had children with wayward children, those were the cool kids. Whereas, you know, the others, they seemed to be doing okay. So young people, for whatever reason, I think it's satanic, the peer pressure thing, they're trying to discover what their identity is by whoever accepts them. And sometimes those who are willing to accept them are bad people who want to do bad things and use that other person to accomplish their evil desires. If they say, Solomon says, of those people that are saying, I'm your friend, and it's all cool, and we're going to have a great time. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, the abode of the dead, and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. Now, in the school of fools are these sinners who desire to please themselves at the expense of others. That's what a fool is, to please oneself at the expense of others. They will pretend to be your friends, but they're using you for their own selfish purposes. So when somebody says to you, hey, I got this great idea for getting rich quick, and it might involve using and abusing another, run in the opposite direction. That's what Solomon's telling his son. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Don't go with them. Go the other way. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. But little do those wicked people realize that the blood they desire to shed is going to eventually be their own. Notice in verse 17, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. So he's comparing the wicked who want to take advantage of others as some bird hunter who's spreading out a net. But they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives in the cloak of darkness. They're out there trying to do their nefarious things. But they're the ones who are going to get caught and killed. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. So Solomon is telling his son, don't run with bad people. And bad people are the ones who say we can get rich quick by taking advantage of others. Don't run with them because they're running headlong into destruction. Now you and I, we look at this and we think, oh, that's a no-brainer. But really, it's a necessary warning, especially for young believers who are looking for their place, looking for friends. It's much easier to pull somebody down than it is to pull somebody up. And if you are desiring to walk with God, but yet you're linking yourself up with people that are not godly, it's much easier for them to pull you down than for you to pull them up. So be careful who you make friends with. That's what Solomon's telling his son. That's what the Holy Spirit's telling you and me. In Proverbs 1, verses 20 through 33, make friends with Lady Wisdom. Make friends with Lady Wisdom. In several places in Proverbs, wisdom will be personified as a lady, a wise woman. So we call her Lady Wisdom. Now, some of the things that wisdom will say, you and I will say, oh, is that really the heart of God? No. We need to remember he's talking about what wisdom says, not necessarily what God will say on Judgment Day. Because we'll read later on that when a fool goes off and their lives are destroyed and then they cry out for help, that wisdom will say, too bad, too late, you get what you deserve. Well, that's not the heart of our Lord. The Lord knows when somebody truly repents, like the thief on the cross, that he would say to them, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." So don't be confused when we go through this part, thinking that Solomon is speaking for God. He's not. What he's doing is he's speaking for wisdom. Okay, so here we go. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses at the openings of the gate in the city. She speaks her words. In other words, wisdom is easy to find. Wisdom is shouting loudly in the world. Wisdom is readily available to whoever would want it. You don't have to go looking far and hard to find it. For example, there are many, many venereal diseases in this world, some of them deadly. The solution, wisdom, it's very simple. No sex outside of heterosexual monogamous marriage. When you have two people that are virgins and they get married and they keep sex to themselves with just each other, you do not have the risk of venereal disease. But if a person's sleeping around, there's a good chance they're going to catch something. Now, our culture can't stand that message. It's like we're asking them to, I don't know, sacrifice their puppies when we say don't have sex outside of marriage. Because they are simply driven mad by lust. And therefore, wisdom is crying aloud, don't have sex until you're married to someone of the opposite gender. And they don't want to listen because they're fools. Verse 22 goes on to say, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? Wisdom is saying, come the pathway of righteousness. Fools are saying, if it feels good, do it. Simplicity. Scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Again, in the school of fools, the students want satisfaction right now without any regard to consequences. They follow their hearts. The heart wants what the heart wants, one of their favorite slogans as well. And when we share with them Lady Wisdom, who tells them about self-control, they become very vocal against us and sometimes even hostile. But that doesn't change the fact that Lady Wisdom is speaking and warning those fools about what will happen if they continue in the lusts of the flesh. Verse 23, turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. And because you disdained all my counsel, wisdom again, she's speaking loudly, what is wise and what is foolish, and yet you would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes, when your terror comes like a storm, and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Again, this is Lady Wisdom speaking. And when her wisdom is rejected, she will see those who destroy themselves and will say to them, I told you so. And she will also say to them, it's too late, baby, now. It's too late. Notice in verse 28, then they will call upon me. Oh, well, I'm ready to be wise now. Too late, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge. They didn't want to acquire information. They just wanted to do what felt right to them at the time. They hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. In the fallen culture in which we live, we see people that are such fools They've rejected God. They want nothing to do with him. They simply want to please the lusts of their flesh. Now, we could become angry and judgmental, or we could be filled with pity. And I think that would be better. You know, like the words of the great theologian, Mr. T, "I pity the fool." We should pity the fool for where they are headed, to destruction. They may say, "Oh, we're living the good life now, and you're not. You know, you're denying yourself of what? Why would you do that? That's stupid." Hey, in the end, we will be with the Lord. Great shall be our reward in heaven. But for them, outer darkness, wailing and gnashing of teeth. And for them, it will be too late. It will be too late. But wisdom's still crying aloud. And we're also crying aloud. We're preaching the gospel to those who will listen. Be saved from this perverse generation. What a timely message for the church to be preaching today. Be saved from this perverse generation. And as perverse as it was 2,000 years ago when those words were said, even more so today. Be saved from this perverse generation. So it's too late, baby, now it's too late. You're getting what you deserve. And that's another thing that Lady Wisdom says. For the turning away, verse 32, of the simple will slay them. They will get what they deserve. And the complacency of fools, those who just go with the flow, those who take the easy way out all the time, again, just doing what feels best at the time, the complacency of fools will destroy them. The current of the culture, if the culture is like a river, the current is flowing down to death and destruction. All the dead fish are going with the flow. That's how you know they're dead. But the living ones are those like you that are swimming against the current. You ever feel like that? The world is going one way and you're struggling to go the other? That's because you're alive. You're a living fish. You're a holy trout or whatever it is you might be. Any dead fish can go with a flow. It takes a live one to swim against the current. Those who are wise are going to travel upward through this life, not settling, not being complacent, but trying to live the best that they might be blessed. Verse 33, Wisdom, Lady Wisdom finally says, "Whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil." Don't have to worry about what's going to happen. Jesus even told us, don't worry about those who can kill the body, but afterward have no more they can do. He warned his disciples on not just one occasion that they would be persecuted and that many would even be put to death for their faith. But to rejoice, be exceedingly glad, for great shall be their reward in heaven. Wisdom is looking beyond this life to the next. Living this life the best so that in the next life they can be blessed. So there you are. Chapter 1. Dean Solomon telling his sons, "You are enrolled in the school of wisdom. Stay there. Don't go party with those of the school of fools. Stay in your school. Stay in your place. Be alive." Shall we pray? Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for the book of Proverbs. And thank you for, well, all of your scripture, Lord. By your word, every word we live. For man lives not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Lord, we want to live a life that's well-pleasing to you. the blessed life. Lord, when the culture, the current of the culture is flowing one way, help us to swim against it. Help us to stand against it. Help us, Lord, to go the other way. Lord, in this day when the world is saying, you be quiet and let me live how I want, Lord, we need to warn them to flee from the wrath to come. Lord, help us to be vocal. Help us to stand up. Wisdom cries aloud, Lord. If that's true, then we who are wise should also be crying out aloud. Be saved from this evil and perverse generation. Oh, what a perverse generation we live in. Lord, they are so defiant, so indignant, shaking their fists at you, saying, we will not have you rule over us, and they have no idea where they're headed. What a terrifying thing it is to fall into the hands of the living God. Lord Jesus, we do pray you would help us to sound the alarm, to speak up more, to be witnesses for you. Oh, Holy Spirit, would you please fill us? Would you please, Lord, come upon us? Give us boldness. And through us, Lord, you would reach our culture. You would reach this generation, bringing people out of perversity into holiness, just like you did for us. Continue that work through us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.